always felt embarrassed when my mom would stand up and say something. I always wished I could hide. I wish I was a turtle so that I could go back to my shell. Because she always spoke with such passion, you know that attitude of, this is it. If you don't believe this, then I have facts to prove it. It felt embarrassing. But looking back now, I see that she wasn't embarrassing me. She wasn't crazy. She was standing up for what she believed.
I'm Kim Chakanetsa, and this is The Comb, a BBC World Service original podcast. Each week, I comb the African continent for stories that matter. Online, we are hashtag The Comb, and you can get involved by joining our Facebook group. Just search for The Comb.
This is The Comb.
Ye ni The Comb.
The Comb, no.
Ni The Comb.
The Comb.
In the last episode, I introduced you to Alfred Branwell, a Liberian environmental lawyer and activist. Alfred was forced to flee his home because of harassment and even deadly threats he received for his work trying to protect Liberia's ancient forests from destruction. Now, safely living in the United States, Alfred knows that he's one of the lucky ones. Last year, the international NGO Global Witness reported that 2020 was the most deadly year on record for environmental and land defenders. They registered 227 killings of defenders worldwide, including 18 in Africa. One of those was Fikile Nchangaze.
I'm Malungelo Xhakaza, the daughter of the late Mam Fikile Nchangaze.
Malungelo is speaking to me from a parking lot in Opondweni, South Africa. It's a rural area full of green fields, mountains and rocky rivers, with houses scattered far apart from each other. The parking lot is her chosen spot because it's the nearest place to her with signal strong enough for our call. In the last year, Malungelo's got quite used to speaking to journalists. She's been telling the story of her mother, Fikile.
My mom was a very happy but strict person. She didn't tolerate things that weren't done properly. She was very fun because most of the time people knew her as a teacher. She made sure that she would leave a person with something wherever she was. But at home, she was a very fun person. She would tell my son and I stories of how she grew up, her siblings, how they would misbehave when they were younger.
Malungelo remembers the first time she ever saw her mum in the role of activist. She was a small child and it was a local meeting to elect a councillor. Fikile stood up and boldly put forward her argument that the community itself, not just board members, should have a say in who was elected as their councillor.
I was sitting right next to her and I never expected her amongst such a big crowd to just raise her hand and speak her mind and not only speak for herself, but speak for others as well. So that is a memory that I'll forever hold because that is the first time I actually saw her in action.
And as a daughter watching your mother do this, I mean, how did that feel to you?
This is going to sound bad, but even now, before she passed on, I always felt embarrassed when my mom would stand up and say something. I'm the only child here with my mom. And then my mom does this to me and she just stands up and starts talking in such a huge crowd.
It's easy to sympathize with Malungelo's teenage mortification, but now those memories take on a different meaning for her.
I even wish now that all her opinions, I wish I could have been happy about or proud about it. As soon as she sat down, give her a pat on the back and be like, yeah, you told them, you gave it to them. I wish I had that moment. But unfortunately, it never happened. But I'm proud of my mom regardless. I'm proud of her. I'm proud.
Sile's biggest fight, and her last one, came about because of the very nature of the landscape her community inhabits.
It was discovered that the land in my community had coal. So a coal mine was to come and start getting coal from the people's land.
Underneath those green fields and mountains that Malungelo grew up in, developers had found huge deposits of anthracite. That's coal of the highest quality, mainly used in steel manufacturing and highly valuable if mined. The company is Tendele Coal Mining, already the country's biggest producer of that anthracite, and they plan to expand on the already existing open-cast coal mine in Somkele. The mine borders one of Africa's oldest game parks and is already controversial because of its environmental impact. NGOs have reported, and I'm quoting here, untold destruction of the environment and homes and livelihoods of residents of the area. Tendele Coal Mining told us they take compliance to environmental regulations very seriously and that extensive measures are in place to manage the environmental footprint and impact of operations. But of course, there's a limit to how much any regulations or measures can actually do to reduce the damage of coal mining. An open-cast mine involves, to put it simply, an enormous hole, destroying a huge area of land along with all the plant and animal life that previously existed on it. New roads are built to bring heavy vehicles onto site. And of course, the extraction and use of coal at all is controversial. Coal is the single biggest contributor to climate change. At COP26, the UN Summit on Climate Change last year, 40 countries, including South Africa, signed a pledge to move away from coal as a source of energy. The plans for expansion of Somkele mine would involve 22,000 hectares of additional land, meaning that about 200 families in the villages of Opondweni and Emalahleni would need to be relocated. The company offered compensation to those who agreed to move, and about 140 families consented. But Fikile had serious concerns.
So it got to the part where the mine did come and try to act as if it's negotiating with the people, but it actually got to people's homes and told them what they think the value of their houses, the value of their land is, and where they should go and live, and when they should relocate. So my mom at that time felt that this wasn't right.
Fikile wasn't alone with her concerns. A group of 21 families joined together to oppose the development, and Fikile emerged almost accidentally as the natural leader. That same outspokenness that had embarrassed Malungelo so much meant that again, she was the one at meetings who was speaking up, raising her hand, and challenging what the community was being told.
People saw that she would be a great leader for them, and then they formed an executive committee and they elected her to be one of the people in that committee.
For Fikile's part, Malungelo says she felt a duty to accept the role. She was determined that powerful business interests should not be allowed to walk over her community.
I remember this other time she said, I can tell the way that the talks are being addressed during the meetings between the mining sector and the community, that the mining industry or the mining sector has been informed that it is coming to a community of people who are not educated. So whatever the mining industry is saying to the community will just agree, not ask questions, not have opinions about it. They will just sign over their land and the process will start for them to mine. So she felt that she was the voice. She made sure that she was going to seek out knowledge so that she would know how to respond if such and such was said or being promised. She would take the constitution book and she would ask her friends, kids who are lawyers, to clear things up for her, and she would ask questions. She kept herself informed enough for her to be the voice of the community. So my mom felt as if she was their voice and she was not going to keep quiet and let the mind play with the people's livelihoods.
But Fikile's view was controversial. Mining is one of South Africa's oldest industries. And at a time when the economy is struggling and there's a great need for jobs, many welcomed the chance for employment. Tendele Coal Mining told us that
the vast, vast majority of the 220,000 strong community supports the expansion of the mine to enable at least another 10 years of economic activity in the area, which is otherwise threatened with even greater levels of poverty and unemployment than already exist.
Fikile's outspokenness was something the community had always admired about her. But this time, things were different.
With the mining issue, there were some conflicts and some people ended up not being okay with her.
So Malungelu, the people who disagreed with your mother's position, what were they saying?
They felt that my mom was blocking them from getting rich. They felt my mom was what was hindering them from getting jobs. They felt my mom was just being selfish just because she was married to a cop and she was also a teacher and she had sent us to good schools. So she's hindering them from doing the same things for their children or for their great-grandchildren. Eventually, all those things then created a huge gap between my mom and some community members.
And how much of this were you aware of, Malungelu, at the time? Did you understand how much, I guess, there was the rising animosity against your mother?
I was aware of it. So when the mining issue actually came to the community, then things started unraveling then. At meetings, at some point, she would get booed. Sometimes she would get threatening calls. Sometimes she would get texts, SMSs, which were threatening her to not participate in meetings anymore. Or if she is at a meeting, to not say anything at a meeting, not to question or raise her hand. Or they would use the term, do not make us look dumb in front of the community. So she was getting threats, or she would get booed if she was to raise her hand and make her point, and then booing would follow her after.
And when that happened, when people were booing your mother, how would she react?
You know how my mother, how she was. She would just stand. She wouldn't sit down. You know when people get booed, they just sit down and cower and you know, feel embarrassed. She'd stand until the booing was done. And then she'd continue with whatever she was saying. And if she gets booed again, she would stand until she finishes what she has said. And then she'd politely say, thank you, and then sit down.
At the time, it was hard to imagine these boos, these threats turning into actual violence. But now looking back, Malungelu says that it was clear things were getting more serious.
Well, she was the one who would speak to us about it, because it would happen that maybe after a call, or maybe after reading that text message that she had received, she would tell us what's going on. And she was as calm as ever. I think in her own mind, she never also believed that it would come to such an incident. So much that she made us also not think that it would really take such drastic measures for them to silence her. But She had this anxiety. Every time she would hear the dogs barking outside the house, she would just sit and not even sleep for those hours.
The 22nd October 2020 was the day that the worst finally happened.
It was around 7. I was actually at my boyfriend's place. I wasn't home when I received a phone call from my neighbors. The neighbors alerted me that something has happened at home. I should hurry back home. And I kept questioning them over the phone what had happened, what had happened. And I think they were afraid to tell me what had happened.
District growing, the murder of a mining activist at the weekend has prompted calls from NGOs to bring her killers.
The 65-year-old environmental activist had opposed the expansion of one of South Africa's largest open coal mines in KwaZulu-Natal province.
It must be related to the stand that she was taking in relationship to...
Very vocal about the proposed expansion of a local coal mine. Her family believes she was killed because of it.
An activist in South Africa, it's very dangerous because you never know when your day is going to be taken.
Her grandson told the police two men came to the gate.
Malungelo's son was home at the time. He met his grandmother's killers.
So according to my son, when he finally was able to speak about what had happened, my mom had just arrived from the meeting. She was sitting at the sitting room area at our house. So my son was outside in the toilet. It was getting dark, about 6:30 in the evening. And then the three men approached him at the veranda and then asked if they could get some water. And then one of the gentlemen asked him, were there any elders in the house? At that time, he says the dogs were barking very loud at these three men. And then the man said to him, who's the elder that's in the house? And he said it was my mother, his grandmother. And then they said, oh, while we proceed to go and greet your grandmother, we just want to come inside the house and say hello. While we proceed to enter the house, can you please keep the dogs quiet? And then these three men, two of them, entered the sitting room area where my mom was sitting, and one was left in the kitchen area. They heard the first gunshot.
Fikile was hit by 6 bullets and a 7th was lodged into the wall, having missed her. Realizing what was happening, Malungelo's son ran. He ran until he reached a neighbor's house who contacted Malungelo.
So when I got home after the call, I got home to her lifeless body in the sitting room area with her phone on the floor, the knife that she was chopping with, the chopping board, the onions still on the table. Yeah.
Four days after her murder, Fikile's body was laid to rest. Crowds of mourners attended her funeral. What was the reaction from the wider community when they learned of what had happened to your mother?
Well, the community. They felt sorry for us. They felt sorry for my son, especially because he was around. Another thing, people who were in the organization that my mom was part of, the environmental rights activist people, most of them felt fear. They wanted to quit being part of the meetings. They wanted to quit being part of the organization. Most of them quit even asking questions at meetings, and people became intimidated. My mom's murder intimidated the community, I'd say. They did not only silence my mom, but they also silenced the people, because people then felt that should I also take on Mam Jangas's shoes or Mam Jangas's lead, then I will become like her. I will get gunned down. And also so that will travel to the next person, the same person will also think, yes, should I also raise my hand at a meeting and ask questions, then I'm going to be gunned down. So they did not only silence my mom, but they silenced some of the community members. But then at the same time, weirdly enough, some of the community members were like, yeah, we want to be like her. So what if they gun us down too? Because now it shows that she wasn't just a person acting up or a person acting crazy. She was actually doing something big. For them to have three men gun down a 63-year-old female at her house means that they were actually silencing her because she was onto something. So some of the community members actually got amped up and some of them became silent. So it was a bittersweet moment for the community, but also for me, it was a bittersweet moment because I had lost my mom. But I was also proud of the people who were like, we are willing to step up from where your mom left off.
Tendele Coal Mining says they acknowledge that the conflict in the community over the mine's expansion may have motivated those who killed Fikile, but that this would in no way justify the murder. They told us,
Somkele Mine Management has consistently condemned Msintshangase's murder in the strongest terms and has repeatedly called on the South African Police Service to bring the perpetrators to justice. In an effort to support those South African Police Service efforts, the mine offered a reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the perpetrators. That reward offer still stands.
And what would you say is your mother's legacy?
My mom's legacy is to see things being done right by the people, for the people, with the people. I think that was her main focus, with their rights being not violated, with their environment's rights also not being violated. So everything around her revolved around people and doing right by the people. So I think that's what she lived for, yeah. And that's also inspired me to be courageous enough to say, I'm also not going to back down. Come hell or high waters, I'm going to try and fill my mom's shoes, even though they're very, very, very big. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try, yes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Comb. On our next episode, When Cultures Collide.
Because I want him to act a certain way in front of my parents because that's my culture. I don't want my parents to be like, oh, he's not a good guy for you.
Because so, I mean, as Nigerians, you're doing sort of like a celebration. You bring out money and start spraying people. I'm very sure that they're going to frown on that.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. That they're not going to want that. I'm not going to be able to spray money on our mom or something.
This episode was produced by Mary Goodhart and me, Kim Chakaneta. Rob Wilson did the sound design. Our studio manager is Michael Regard, and Piers Lynch is our editor. Additional audio courtesy of Makua Mining.